The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Julianna Peña is the UFC bantamweight champion.
Oh my goodness.
That's the biggest upset in the history of the sport.
I told you, don't ever doubt me again.
Julianna, the most violent victory.
H-Town on that boy.
Derek, the Black Beast, Lewis!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Good evening. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I am a half-blind idiot. My eyesight's getting really shitty, Matt. Great show today. I two guests that we really like. The champ, of course, Julianna Peña, bantamweight champion, fighting Amanda Nunes on the 30th in the rematch, which they're saying is the biggest woman's fight in history, and it very well might be. And, of course, also we have Derek Lewis, who is always a fucking treat.
Jimmy, the 30th is this Saturday.
Yes, it is, buddy.
How's the summer halfway over already? Right? Crazy.
Yeah, I know, man. It really is crazy. It is July. Mm. I can't tilt my camera. They're asking me to hold on. Well, just keep talking, man. I'm going to move my thing back here.
Hey, first of all, I got to hang out a little bit and get when I was with my wife in Vegas. I shot that round table special with Julianna.
Yes, you did.
And also with Michael Bisping, Rashad Evans, Forrest Griffin. We had such a good time.
And Julianna Peña. Did you say Peña?
This Julianna Peña. Now, listen, Jimmy, I don't know if you remember, but there's a video on my Instagram of me yelling.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a karaoke truck. Car with all with everybody but Forrest, and my wife said I was being a little loud.
I disagree.
She was holding my arm. She'd squeeze my arm like this a little bit, like squeeze it, like. And I thought she was just having a good time because we were doing all of the lights was on Kanye West. So I'd be like, what is it now? How does that go? Like turn the lights up in here. How does it go? Turn up the lights in here, baby. And I was like screaming it. And then my wife would say, then she goes, and I think everybody was being polite, but you being very loud. And I felt bad because you kept yelling at the top of your lungs, let's fucking go. And Julianna was in there. And I want to ask her if I was too loud. Because I have to know for the future, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I have to know.
Well, I would think the funny part is too.
What?
What? My girlfriend is like you in the sense, well, more than one way, but in the way of she won't take a hint. Like your wife is squeezing your hand. Yeah. And you're like, she loves it. And like, you know, if my girlfriend is saying something, I'm like, oh, shut up. I'll like kind of kick her and she'll look at me like, you kicked me. Like instead of realizing I'm hinting.
Yeah.
You guys don't take the hint.
I thought she meant turn it up, honey. And I'm like, yeah, fucking Kanye. And meanwhile, everybody's right next to me and the windows are up. And
yeah,
it wasn't.
I'm going to guess it was loud.
I bet you when you ask Juliana, you say, did you have a good, I wouldn't start it off with, was Matt too loud in there? Because that's giving her, that's basically giving her some ammunition to be like, or like, let's lead her down a path saying, you know what, he was loud. I want to see how she recalls the situation.
Okay.
I want you to be like, oh, did you guys, I heard there was a karaoke.
Yes, I actually heard it from here in New York.
You're being rude now. Because you're insinuating that I'm loud.
That's right. I didn't mean to do that. My apologies.
I told you, bro. I walk into my academy, and I just feel like I'm bringing good energy. But the coach, Colombo, Carol, she does the kickboxing at my place. She goes, you break in that place like the fucking Kool-Aid guy. Like, rah! He goes through the door. Like, you ever see the Kool-Aid guy? Put the Kool-Aid guy in the key.
I'm starting to look like him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're looking at him now.
No.
The Kool-Aid, but I think the Kool-Aid, hey, listen, did you ever hear the Hi-C guy? No. The Kool-Aid man, let's get to some MMA, because I think we're going to lose the audience. I was going to say, the Kool-Aid guy has some fucking enthusiasm, right? Ah, he's like, he break through a wall like the Hulk. Fucking Kool-Aid. What does he say?
he goes, hey, Kool-Aid, like that.
So listen, Derek Lewis is fighting this weekend. Juliana Pena, hey.
Yes.
People are saying that's such a big upset. I want to see what's the odds going into this one with that fight.
Well, Juliana is the underdog.
She's ready to go. Oh, sorry.
She's the underdog. Okay.
Say it again. She's the underdog?
She is, yeah. But I understand why. I don't think it's any reflection on her being a great champion. I have my theory as to why she's the underdog.
She is the champion. Let's get her in here. Let's not keep the champion waiting. Let's get her in here.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
How are you, Juliana? What is it, a chalkboard behind you? Are you in a, what's going on here?
I'm in my room.
Oh, okay. Is that artwork? It's nice. I don't know what I'm looking at. It looks like something out of Tetris.
I know, huh?
Are you wearing a blanket? Are you cold?
It is freezing in this hotel. Like, it is so cold. It's crazy. I'm like, literally got the thermostat's like set at 80 degrees. I'm not kidding.
Oh, it's your hotel.
Yeah.
We were just talking about, obviously, your amazing win over Amanda. And what do you think, what are you expecting from her in this rematch? I mean, you know, fighters sometimes will fight only so many great fights in a row, and then they have a couple of losses, and then there's times where they just get too comfortable. Like, she claims she was too comfortable. What do you think it was? And what are you expecting?
You know, I'm expecting the biggest, fastest, strongest Amanda Nunes that we've ever seen. You know, the list of 100 reasons are out of why. And so there's nothing more left to be done than to fight. And she says that she's going to come and surprise me, and I'm going to do the same. So we'll see how it goes, but I definitely think that we're going to see the best version of Amanda Nunes we've ever seen, and the best version of Juliana Pena that you've ever seen.
And what's the attitude like when you hear that, like, you're still the, you're going to still be the underdog now? Should it be like, hey, I already beat her handedly. So now there's no lucky punch in there. That was a beatdown. That was domination. I'm still the underdog. What are you people looking at? Is that the attitude, or you just don't even think about that?
They still consider me the underdog. And on one hand, I don't concern myself too much with the underdogs and the favorites. I leave all that betting stuff to the professionals. But I will say that, and I said it in the first fight, and I'm going to say it again, I guarantee you that when that cage door closes, she's not looking at me as some underdog. I think that she absolutely respects me as a fighter, and I don't pay too much attention to what the odds are.
Now,
yeah, my theory on this, because there was no decline, you could clearly beat her and deserve to be the champion. But like, a lot of times you'll see it as like a decline sometimes, and then somebody loses. And with her, people could say, well, she had a bad fight, so maybe they're still going to favor one more loss. And I think that, you know, she would absolutely be the underdog.
Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, that's the whole reason why we're doing this rematch. They said that she slipped on a banana peel, and that's why I won. And so that chip on my shoulder still there, and that I'm here to prove that she didn't just fall on a banana peel, that I won in dominant fashion. And that's exactly what I plan to do on Saturday night as well. It's not just some, you know, win that came out of the blue sky. It absolutely was my plan to beat her. And I'm here to prove it again, that I am the new champion and that it's the Peña Power era now.
Oh, say that 10 times fast. Peña Power. What is it?
Peña Power era.
It's the Peña Power era. It's Peña Power time.
I like that. Peña Power.
The Peña Power era.
I smell it 10 times fast, Jimmy. Go.
The Peña Power era. The Peña Power era. I'll do the next eight when Julian is done.
You're right.
It's hard to say.
I smell a t-shirt coming with it.
I have a question for Julian.
I already have one. JulianaPeña.com.
Oh, shoot. See that?
Yep, we were going to steal your idea. You're very smart. Don't tell us before you've actually done it. That's very smart. I have a question for you. Now, you were in Vegas. You did this this really fun thing where Tough Champions. It was Matt. It was Rashad. It was Bisping, Forrest. Great.
I had fun. She had a good time.
What did you think of the karaoke bus?
I loved it. I was trying to play my jams, but between Bisbing and Sarah, I couldn't get a song in edgewise.
Sorry about that.
Oh,
you know what's funny about that? My wife said I was being a hog with that. She told me after, she goes, Juliana wanted to, you know, she wanted to put something on, and you put on the Kanye West. I go, Hobbs, I wanted to sing. I was, and to be honest, I might have had a little too much to drink that night. Juliana.
To be honest, the only thing that irritated me was that the microphone couldn't reach into the back seat. I was trying to get down on the karaoke and I was in the back and I couldn't reach, you know, so that was disappointing for me because I was trying to get in on the fun too.
Well, could you hear Matt?
Oh yeah. No, the him and Bisbing, they were having a ball. We were having a ball. We all had a good time. Honestly, it was so awesome to see, you know, the tough contestants, the tough coaches, and then the tough champions. And you know, I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know before because that wasn't my time. You know, when these guys were on the show and when they were competing, like I was, you know, still a teenager. And so it was really cool to see their history and to find out things that I had no idea about.
It was a good time, Jimmy. And that show is getting a lot of people hitting up with that. They like that round table show.
I had a great time.
Me too. Now, speaking of doing the show, do you feel like is there any more animosity since doing the show when you had to go versus each other? Do you feel you know her more as a person? Do you feel like you're in her head more?
I don't have anything personally against her. You know, I think that for me, it was just about finding these next up and coming stars in the UFC, the next generation that's going to be taking over in the next couple of years. And that was my main focus. My main focus was to make sure that my fighters were getting the win and that they were doing everything in their power to get their hand raised for themselves and to put everybody else, all the viewers, on notice. And then as well as for Team Peña. So I think that was the most exciting part. Can you just give me 1 second? You guys, please. I am trying to do an interview, please.
I like that. I like that. That's a mom. Hey, I like that a lot. I like that. Shows you discipline your kids. You see that, Jimmy? Jimmy, I'll tell you right now, some people don't, Jimmy. I don't think you know that about parenting.
Well, I'm,
no, my parents did.
We're close to losing it. Isabella. Yeah. Stop. I'm not going to ask you again.
That's good, though.
That's a stop you in your tracks face. That would have stopped me in my tracks. I'm not going to ask you again. And that probably means you're not going to ask again. So, that's probably very effective.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, good.
Well, now, when you were a kid, were your parents disciplinary when you were a kid? My parents, it was a different era. Soap on the teeth. I mean, really horrible.
No. My parents were all about tough love. They only spoke one time only. And I'm very lenient with her compared to my parents. My parents were not nice. And
they weren't.
You're about to see the not nice come unleashed right now.
But you did listen when they spoke, right? When your parents spoke, you knew what was coming if you didn't listen.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, they only spoke one time.
Was it your mom or your dad or both?
It was both, actually. Yes.
Juliana's on the move. She's going, are you leaving the room or are you putting someone else out of the room?
No. She's in timeout now and she's not going to move.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Is that effective timeout? Like, they didn't have that when I was younger. I'm older than both of you guys. Does that actually, do the kids respond to that?
Yes, they do. When they're in trouble, they know they're in trouble, and she's in timeout. I just saw her take a little toy that I bought her at Whole Foods yesterday. She just pelted my coach in the face with it. So she's in trouble.
That'll do it. And you know, yeah. Jimmy, don't laugh at that stuff because that makes the kids think it's okay.
No,
even when some stuff's hysterical, you can't laugh.
Yeah, even though I would love to have seen that, and I think it's really funny. Yeah,
I get in trouble with that with my wife.
Don't let her know.
I try not to laugh when they do stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know,
she's antsy because she doesn't care that it's fight week, and she doesn't care. She knows that they're cool here, and she is itching and scratching to go because, like last night, we got in late. I didn't get a chance to get her into the pool, and so she's literally just like,
yeah.
Idling on about losing because she wants to go to the pool, and I'm like, I just gotta get this interview done.
Yes, Jimmy, let's end this so they can get to the pool. I have kids. The kids love the pool.
No, I know.
I have one more question for you then. When you're traveling, because I think guys have fighters have different schools of thought. Is it harder for you to travel with family because you have this stuff, or is it, does it make it more normalized and less pressure because it's like everyday life?
You know, for me, it is, I have that healthy dose of balance because the reality is that I am a mom and that I do have to deal with, you know, raising a family at the same time of trying to, you know, reach my career goals. So there's a healthy balance there. And I wrestled with that coming to fight week this time, because when she was a baby, it was a little bit easier. You know what I mean? I didn't have so much back talk. I didn't have so much attitude. But going into this fight week, I was thinking, like, do I take her this time? Do I let her stay and let her hang out? Or do I bring her? I wasn't really sure what the right answer was. But she's here, we're doing it. And the most important thing is to be imperfectly real. There's not really much I can hide. There's not really much that I would want to hide. You know, I'm a fighter, but I'm also a mom. And you know, being a mom kind of comes first in certain situations.
I love it. I'm not a parent, but I love seeing fighters just their natural element deal with the same shit that everybody else has to deal with. I think that's great. And the fight week, you have to put up with that just like every other parent does.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that is kind of gives you also a natural distraction from the fight. Like, I realize I'm going to have to go get in a fist fight at the end of the week, but I also know that, like, I have to also be a mom. And so I think that's kind of it's a welcomed distraction to fight week of having to deal with actual normal stuff too.
Very true. It just keeps you grounded in general.
Exactly.
Know? That's great.
Hey, all right. We'll let you get to the pool. We know you got your family there.
It's exciting. No,
I can finish. She's in timeout. If you guys have a couple of questions, that's fine.
Oh, it's the best time for an interview then, right? Because she's not going to do anything. Because she knows if she screws up now, she doesn't go to the pool.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Are you able to relax and do stuff like relax at the pool, or do you get too stressed this week?
You know, I'm going to go check it out soon and see what it's like. But there's like a happy medium, right? I'm like, I'm supposed to be fighting in fight mode. I'm not supposed to be like relaxing by the pool. You know what I mean? But then on the other hand, it's like, dude, you've been working for like over 20 weeks. Take an hour, relax by the pool, enjoy it. You know, you're supposed to enjoy fight week, but that's like the pool that I have, that internal pool inside where I'm like, I'm not supposed to be having fun at the pool. But then at the other side, it's like, dude, relax, you know, the hard part's over. Just kick your feet up and let your body recover and just, you know, take a breath.
That's true. But there's part of you that kind of, it's kind of nice that you feel like almost like a caged animal. Like, you know what I mean? Cause you are about to go to war. So you want to, it's like, it's true. Your kid or your friends, family around, you could keep your mind off of when you just have to go totally dark. Like, you know what I mean? Cause you got to get to Jimmy. When you walk in that cage, you got to be, it's bodily harm time. It's either you or them.
Yeah.
I mean, Juliana knows, like, it's somebody's going to have a bad night and it ain't me. That's the attitude you're going in here. So it's good up until that. You don't want to feel that 24/7 because you could burn out or just go nuts. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's exactly right. I got to go ruin this girl's night, you know, and that's all I'm about in the back of my head. Never escapes me, that feeling, that thought, that it never leaves. I could go, you know, go to the pool and relax for 10 hours, but at the end of the day, I know, like, we're about to go get into the real business here, and that feeling is not going to leave until after the fight, until after I get it done.
What's the difference in mentality and pressure being the defending champion as opposed to the challenger?
You know, I think that it's great that everyone thinks I'm an underdog because everyone thinks I'm going to get, you know, mollywopped in 2 seconds anyway. So it's like, there's no pressure there. And then in the other sense, I still feel like the challenger. I know that obviously I'm the champion and that I won the belt, but you know, with everyone saying that she slipped on a banana peel and just happened to win because she had an off night, makes me feel like, you know, I still have that chip on my shoulder that I'm not satisfied with having won the belt that night, because I knew I was going to will make me happy and what will make me be able to breathe a little bit is when I finally get this win and I can breathe and say, I am for sure the champion. I defended my belt properly for the first time. And now it is, you know, no doubt in anyone's mind. And so there's pressure, but I try not to let the moment be bigger than what it is. It's a fist fight in a steel cage and you can't get more complicated than that. Cause if you do make it more complicated than that, then you're in trouble.
Didn't they say the same thing about Rose too? Like, you know, she beat Joanna and then the strikes to tapping and she also beat Wiley the same way, very fast. And then people are like, well, but did she really? And then she goes on to beat him a second time too. Like, you know, so sometimes fighters win and then people still doubt them. And you go on and you win the second time against the same person.
Yeah. Well, there's the argument there, you know, power lost is hard to come back into that power. You know what I mean? And so once it's gone, it's gone. But I don't by any means take Amanda lightly or think that it's just going to be some walk in the park, you know?
Right.
You guys all saw, I took her, the hardest shots that she had and I got hit, you know, and I'm going to get hit. I'm expecting to get hit. I just think that at the end of the day, you just gotta have a bigger will, and where there's a will, there's a way. And I have a great sense of hope that things are going to go my way.
Well, I'll tell you, mentally, you seem right there, Juliana, you wear the crown well. Yeah. Okay, you don't seem like the pressure's getting to you at all. You seem steady. And I couldn't be more excited, Jimmy. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a great main event. Good luck on Saturday. You know, obviously, you know, she was a great champion and you're a great champion for beating her. So I can't wait for this fight. And have a great fight on Saturday. It's great talking to you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. By the way,
yo, what's up, Jimmy?
The Dana White Contender Series. Now, I know we have the results here.
Yo, Dana was pissed, bro.
Why?
He was, what?
Why?
He was not happy. Obviously, you did not see the post-fight press conference.
I did not, no.
Well, my buddy, or my fighter, Dennis Bazooka,
there,
and he won. He won his fight. He's fighting the kid from Alpha Male, and the kid was trying to grapple him. He did a good job of defending. But this is the thing. I see Dana's point in this sense. He might have been a little harsh, and but guess what? Like, I get it because that's an opportunity, man. And like a kid like Dennis is fucking super skilled, and I think he showed some of the skills. And it's hard to fight a guy that's just trying to kind of like stall the game and put you up against the fence. I get it. I understand how that is, but.
Didn't people just criticize Mark Tecchese for the same thing? They were saying that he was kind of doing a similar strategy in a fight.
No, that was a little. He was dominating that. That was just him not putting enough output out.
Okay,
like, that was him just not. Kind of similar, but he wasn't putting a stamp on it. He was just happy on just winning. This one was more competitive, but it's more of like, where's the urge? There has to be an urgency. Know what makes a difference sometimes? It's not so much the skill, which I think you like in Dennis's point and Dennis's Bazooka's case. First of all, he's only 24, which is great. And you see that he has the skill. But I think you just need to be, it's not even so much more aggressive. It comes down to attitude. Like, it's just a little bit more of a fuck you, I'm not going to be denied. Put a stamp on it. Don't put like, all right, you're not doing nothing to me. I'm not getting taken down. I'm not doing much.
Yep.
You're stalling the game, not me. You could look at it like that. Or you could look at it like, all right, you're stalling the game. I'm going to get away from you. Or I'm going to fucking land in elbows. Before this round is over, you're getting fucking worst away. You're getting hurt. Attitude means a lot. And I think Dana is not seeing the right attitude by these guys because it's such an opportunity where.
Yeah.
You should have a real killer instinct going in there. So
to kill somebody or to beat the shit out of somebody, not to not lose. Don't fight just to not lose the fight.
Or just don't just fight just to win the fight. Same thing. Exactly. Same exact thing you just said. Yeah. But, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think the guy was doing anything to Dennis. So Dennis is like, all right, this guy's just kind of stalling the game. It's kind of annoying. But at the same time, he was landing some elbows, some half fists in here and there. There's some mistakes I saw as far as going straight back and some stuff like that. But I don't know. There's room for growth. But I feel like the good news is I see Dennis. One, he had to get the victory. And two, he's young enough to make that to have a little bit of a change of an attitude as far as let's listen. There's levels in this. I don't think that guy belonged in there with him. And I think even here that I think that he should have shown that more. Like, dude, let's just take it. Even if you do get taken down in this process, then you're hard to keep down. But let's just keep this fucking, don't slow the action. Let's get this motherfucker.
Right.
I don't know. I could be hard on people too, but I just think that, you know, you got to expect that. Like, you get all you get in this sport, you don't get given anything. But the most you could get is an opportunity. And when you get that opportunity, now you get it twice, you got to seize the fuck out of that. You know what I mean? Like, I've gotten some opportunities that led to other opportunities. And I tried to seize the fuck out of each one of them. Whereas I did, you know. Not so much the rematch. I didn't seize that opportunity.
That's but okay. Hey, what are you going to do? Two out of three is pretty good.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Knocked out Trigg. Sorry. Anyway, so Derek Lewis, listen.
Well, I just wanted to say, Matt, I'm sorry to interrupt you, buddy. I wanted to congratulate Joe Pyfer on that Ozzy Diaz knockout that second round. That left was so fucking fast. Maybe it was the camera angle. I didn't see what he hit him with. I saw, obviously, Diaz drop, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I rewound it 30 seconds on the app, and I couldn't figure it out again. And then they had to slow it down and show the replay from above, and I was like, oh, it was a left hook. But that was such a beautiful, fast punch. I watched it twice and didn't see it. So congratulations to Joe Pyfer. That was a really, really an impressive win in the second. Yeah.
Save Dana from jumping off the Apex building. No, it's funny. Dana's like, I finally got Lorenzo Fertitta. I was happy to see him in the audience. I saw him there and on the television. And I'm like, out is Lorenzo. So then in the post-fight press conference, you're like, you know, it's hard to get Lorenzo out. I got him out of the house. I had him like, you're not going to be disappointed. It's always a good time with these fights. And he was, I think that was even more to it, that he got his buddy out to watch some fights and that they didn't really live up to the normal Tuesday night.
Yeah. That's why Dana's so great, though. Nobody has ever said, I wonder where I stand with Dana. You really always know exactly where you stand with him. You know if he's happy with you, you know if he's not. That's all you can ask from somebody. So I guess those guys knew that he wasn't happy.
Yo, did you see people? Yes. You see that? You see he gave a box of money to that kid from the neck. You never saw that? He gave a box of money.
I did see that, yes.
Now, listen, I got a funny thing with that. What is kind of funny with that? It's getting nothing to do with that at all, but a little bit. Like, look, we're doing a looking
Why?
For a,
my birthday passed and I didn't get a box of money.
Shit, mine was June 2nd. Fuck, Dana. But listen, none of that. But kind of, listen, really quick. I was doing a looking for a fight, right? And it was the New York episode. Vellante was doing it because Dean Thomas had to corner somebody. Yeah. And it was during my birthday. This was a couple of years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago. So now look, I don't blame Dana at all. I love Dana. And one of the reasons why I'm such good friends with Dana, I think to this day, is that I never asked the guy for anything. I mean, anything. Even I hardly ask for tickets. I think maybe one time in Long Island, I asked for tickets. I don't ask for shit. But I mean, that's not why, but I'm sure it doesn't hurt that's.
Yeah,
I
mean, well, you know, genuine anyway, man.
Yeah, we're good friends. Genuine. So yeah. So listen, I don't expect anything, but listen to this. So the fucking producer, Rory. Now I like Rory, but Rory's all about, he'll work your emotions to get a better shot type of thing. He's all about the show, right? So he goes, look, he goes, you guys got to get back to this restaurant. I know we were shooting something with the Rockettes, me and Vellante. He goes, look, Dana is going to meet you at the restaurant. Listen, he's like, Matt, you got to be there. Dana's got a present for you. It's your birthday. Dana's got to be there. We got to be there so to see your reaction. Now, look, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The producer's telling me that I have to make, we got to be over there at a certain time because Dana, my friend, who's a, you know.
Sure.
Multi-millionaire. I mean, it has nothing to do with it, but
he's almost a billionaire.
Almost a billionaire, and he has a present for me for my birthday. A present, Jimmy. So I'm like, now like, if it was like, yo, you got to get there. Jimmy's got a present for you. I'm like, all right. What is it? A fucking like a dildo or something silly. Like, I don't know what you'd give me, but yeah. So I'd expect maybe some shenanigans. But he is telling me my close friend has got a birthday present for me. And I have to get there by like 4 o'clock or whatever.
Sure.
So now, Jimmy, I don't expect anything, but what if you're in my, now listen, my mind can only, you know, I can only wander a little, you
of
know,
course.
Wander and wonder. And well, I'm like, all right, he wants me there, but for like maybe, could it be a truck? Could it be a truck? I can't think it's a Tahoe. He knows I love Tahoe. It can't be. Imagine he has a truck. What do I do?
I mean, a truck.
I'm like, what if he does? What if he, I'm going to have to try to turn something away. So I'm going through my mind where if he gives me something outrageous, I can't accept it, which ultimately, Jimmy, I'm going to accept it. But I
of
was
course,
like,
but you're going to have to pretend.
But Jimmy, oh, God, so I'm going, boss. So I'm going boss through my mind. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh my God, we got to get to the next shoot. So we get there and in the restaurant, we come in, you know what the present was?
I'm going to guess. It was a truck, but not a Tahoe. No, it was the cash equivalent of a Tahoe. And you knew that that's what you wanted to do with it. Because he gave $250,000 to the other guy. So, I mean, I'm sure he didn't give you $250,000, but he did give you the Jimmy, cash equivalent of the Tahoe.
Listen,
hold on, I'm guessing. Not 250, that's too much. No, you're not getting $250,000. That was already done. But I'm going
to
bet you
he gave you
close to 100 in cash.
Listen to me. First of all,
buy yourself a Tahoe and keep the rest.
Nobody owes me anything. He's a friend of mine.
No.
But the producer told me. Think about that, Jimmy. Think about a producer.
Yeah.
You have to be sure. There. Matt, listen to me. You're not going to want to miss this.
Of course.
Dana's got a present for you. Jimmy, so I'm going over there.
Yeah.
Thank God he didn't give this box to this kid before that. Then I would have been like, oh! All right, Derek's right. So anyway, Jimmy, it was a cake.
Yeah.
It was a cake of me winning, look, with nipples. Like, look at me. The candles where my nipples are. Look. like this, pointing to the belt. That's ice cream. Look, look at me. Like when I won, my pose when I won the belt. Look.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And I go, even I'm better. Like, so I'm like, oh, maybe when I slice it open, fucking, it'll be a gold.
There's going to be money or a key.
No, I didn't expect anything. But Jimmy, what a disappointment with that fucking cake. I told Dana.
No, it's great.
But I told Dana the same story right there. I go, dude, I go, Rory's telling me you got this present. Dana's like, oh, Rory, you fuck. You should have done that. So it's not Dana's fault.
No, not at all.
Fucking Rory.
Especially since, did you see the cake I put on Instagram? The cake I got a few years ago from Ace Frehley? Go to my Instagram. It's a great cake. Anyway, let's get Derek Lewis in here.
I miss Derek Lewis. Let's get him in here, man. Derek.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Dude, you look great.
Good. How you doing?
You look great, dude.
Yeah.
Who's over your shoulder? Are they distracting you? Because I got ADD, too. Yeah, I see you're like, I know you don't got a twitch like Jimmy. I was wondering.
I was cleaning.
Dude, you look fucking good, bro. How do you feel? Look at you. You look solid. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I'm looking good. You know, I got a black shirt on, so of course the black don't make me look pretty good. You know?
Yeah, but I wear black all the time and I still have tits in it. So believe me, black can only hide so much. So Sergey has not been out of the first round in the UFC. Does that matter to you at all? Or does that change your strategy? Like, I'm going to drag this guy into the second or the third? Or is your philosophy the same regardless of what his prior record is?
Yeah, I didn't care anyways. I didn't even know that. You know, I always learn about my opponents whenever I get these interviews. So I don't really know that.
Now, I can't see you doing too much homework on these guys. All right, now, did you watch Curtis Blaydes versus Tom Aspinall?
No, I didn't watch.
You don't watch. You don't watch for pleasure. You don't like the UFC on. You're like, oh, let's get some people over at Buffalo Wings. Or no, you don't do that.
No, I don't do that. No.
That's interesting. Do you not like? Is it not entertaining to you, or is it just remind you of when you're fighting and it kind of gets anxiety and that kind of shit?
No. I was just binge watching a show on Hulu.
What? Tell me. I always like a new show.
It's not a new show, but I've just been binge watching it. Oh, yeah, I guess it is. The Old Man.
Jeff Bridges. Yeah. How is it?
Oh, it's real good. It's real good. I like the CIA type of movies.
There's also that movie with Star-Lord. Not Star-Lord. Who's James? Not James. Who's the one that's going to the fucking? Who's the one that's it's the CIA movie show? It's the Terminal List or some shit. What's his name?
What are you talking about? Pete Spratt?
Spratt.
Yeah.
Not Pete Spratt. Pete Spratt, I fought Pete Spratt back in the day.
Whatever.
What is it? What's the name of Spratt's name?
Jack?
No, Jimmy. It's Star-Lord from Guardians of
the Galaxy. Chris Pratt.
Well, shout out to Pete Spratt, by the way.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Pratt? Hold on.
Wait, didn't Chris Pratt just get in trouble with Adesanya? Isn't that the actor who tweeted something to Israel and then Israel tweeted him back and he apologized?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that was Chris Pratt, yeah.
I like that Derek has no idea of anything that's going on in MMA unless he's fighting. And so basically, you want to fight, they give you a name, you're like, all right, I'll take it. And then you have your team do some research on him.
Yeah, we finally watched video on. Well, I finally watched a video of my opponent yesterday. You know, he got fights in the UFC. He won three, lost one. That's all I know about him. He's from Russia.
But you don't get psyched out watching, like, if you have to watch a guy you're going to fight, you don't want to, like, if you see this guy doing damage to people, is that not why you don't watch it? Like, I don't like to watch that. I don't want that in my head, or do you just have no interest?
No, it just don't matter to me. I watch guys go out there and try to stand with someone the whole fight. And whenever they fight me, they want to wrestle. Or vice versa. The way they fight, I feel like my mentality whenever I go into a fight anyway is completely different than most of these guys in the UFC. So I don't look at it like, okay, that could be me. Oh, he can't do that to me and nothing like that. So I don't look at it like that.
Now, we have to ask you, we had Curtis Blaydes on Monday. After the Aspinall, that very strange fight. And he said he wouldn't, I mentioned that he didn't follow up and hit Aspinall when he was on the ground. And he said something about unlike Derek Lewis. And he commented on you hitting him on the ground, and he doesn't seem too happy about it. Are there any regrets about that, or was it just heat of the moment?
Oh, hell no. Fuck Curtis. Fuck Curtis. I would have do it again. He lucky it was her ding fault. So I would have let his ass up a little bit more. He been talking shit for 3 years straight about me for no reason.
That's it. He said, fuck Curtis. Yeah. No, so I think, so Curtis's point was when Tom Aspinall fell down, hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I knew he had enough. He goes, so he's like, I'm a good guy. I'm not going to do it. Unlike Derek Lewis. And then
yeah. He
went to the fight. But again, you guys had some bad blood. There was some shit talking. And what if he survives? And then all of a sudden he survives that. You gave him some mercy. And now you're on. Now it's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You saw what happened with the mountain and the red viper. You got a fucking. That's the Game of Thrones reference. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you same can't. Way, go ahead, Derek.
Same way on Tua Tagovailoa. You know, I had him hurt. I had him, like, I was on top of him doing this basically almost the same thing. And he got up. And I ended up losing the fight. So, you know.
Kill him. Hey, and I think that's not fair to say that Derek's a bad guy for doing that. And I like Curtis, too. You know me. I'm Switzerland.
Yeah.
But Derek's also, there's people breaking down in storms, and he's getting his buddy Trey.
That's right.
Jumping in their fucking trucks and going out into the apocalypse. And, I mean, come on, man. That doesn't sound like a bad guy to me. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah, and for the record, we didn't ask him about it. I was just complimenting on the Aspinall on resisting that urge, and I didn't even remember that had happened. But you're really smart business guy. Like, any of the businesses you want to invest in, like a beauty salon and a trucking company, do you just have a good instinct, or do you have a person next to you with a good instinct, or do you see something and go, I want to do that?
No, I have to. I have to, invest in other stuff, you know. So I know fighting is not forever. And you got to really prepare myself. I know what type of life I want to have. And I know what type of my family life I want my family to have. So I got to really be smart with my money and put it in the right places. My next thing that I want to do is open up a tanning salon.
You know, what kind of salon?
A tanning salon.
Oh, tanning salon.
Tanning salon, Jimmy.
Does that do as well where in Dallas or in Houston?
Yeah, it'll do well in Houston. You know, in my area that I live in, you know, a lot of people like to keep their tan.
So will you have somebody go out and check? Do you use an instinct where you're like, I think this would be good? Or do you put feelers out or have a business guy that will go out and check numbers and come back and go, look, that's not a good idea? Like, was there one you wanted to do that you didn't do because it didn't make financial sense?
Oh, no, I just check the area. If it's like, if I notice a business that I believe that business should be in, like in the area that I live in now, it's like no grocery stores until like 20 minutes away, 20, 30 minutes. And if I had the money, I would open up a grocery store close by. But I'll just look at the areas and see what the areas is missing and what everyone wants.
It is crazy how many guys, and it's not just fighters, but, you know, actors and musicians, how many guys like let their accountants sign all their checks and they wind up getting their money taken?
No, I don't know. I check my account every day, a couple of times a day. I watch my money constantly, so I'm very smart with it also.
Hey, man, I'm surprised fucking Hollywood is not knocking yet on your door. I mean, you're a personable guy, man. You know how it is. You've been around the UFC. Most fucking guys got the personality of a fucking plant, dude. You're funny as shit. Just your Instagram, you put up these funny things that anybody, I guess, could do. I don't know, but you do it. Yours is like, fuck, I don't forget. You have millions of views, followers. Something about you, Derek, it's people like it. They like how you're genuine, and you're genuinely funny. Come on, man. Fucking get into the entertainment business.
I did a couple episodes with the TV show Black Lightning on CW.
Oh, shit. Did you really?
Who'd you play?
What was my character name?
Oh, shit. I
can't remember. Shane, what was my character name on Black Lightning?
Were you fighting Black Lightning or you were with Black
Lightning? Yeah, I was fighting him.
Oh, I could see that.
I was a bad guy.
Did you like the experience?
Did you like it?
Like that Mr. Freeze or something like that.
Oh, shit.
So, it's in the comic books. But, yeah.
I know about
comic books. Now we're getting a note here. It was Daryl Robinson Cold Snap.
Yeah, Cold Snap. Yes.
Fucking Cold Snap. Would you? Is that something you'd like to do again or no?
Yeah, I love to do that. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. You know, they had a free buffet, all you could eat all day long. Pretty good food. You know, I wasn't used to that, so I like it. I had my own trailer.
It's nice how they treat you on a set, right? The way that you sit in the trailer, they bring you whatever you want. There's great stuff to eat. Yeah, it's
all day long.
Yeah, it's a nice life. So that's something that you would consider doing more after you're done fighting and maybe have more time to dedicate to it?
Yes, I would love to do that. I was supposed to do a movie with Terry Crews but I think they said that the money, they couldn't afford it or something like that. You're still trying to get money out of it.
Are you happy now, that you fight? I'm sorry, Jimmy. Does it matter where you fight or are you happy that you're fighting in Texas?
It doesn't matter, but I'm also happy that I'm still fighting in Texas. You know, yeah. I lost two so far in Texas, but I won more than I lost in Texas also. I started out here fighting in Texas, so, you know, so it's no curse or anything like that.
And you're good with, you said you're good with money. Was that like my dad would spend everything and my mom is the one who taught me to be good with money. Was one of your parents better than others or did you just kind of learn that as you got older?
I learned it from other people's state. I learned it from EC Hammer, the other guy. Like everyone mistakes, Mike Tyson. I learned from people like that, and you know, I didn't.
Guys made mistakes.
Yeah, I didn't want to go down that same road. You know.
Yeah, I think MC Hammer's the most famous one. It was like the giant entourages of people he would travel with. It was like $30 million he blew through. I think he was like the first one that people were like, wow, you really can't spend that much on absolutely nothing.
Yeah, especially back then. Everything was cheaper. You spent $30 million on like gas was like 50 cents back then. What are you doing?
I wish those pants would come back into style, man. Those were comfortable pants. No, those MC Hammer pants. Yeah. I never owned any. I had some Cavaricci's, but those things look comfortable. No? You ever see those? Did you ever own any MC Hammer pants, Derek?
No.
I bet you Jimmy did. I bet you Jimmy
did. Not only are you correct, but my first head, I used to work in them, and my first headshots, I'm wearing purple MC Hammer pants, 1990. They were really, I looked like a complete asshole, but they were in style back in 1990, so it wasn't as bad.
Oh, no, I couldn't wear nothing like that.
No, even in 1990, you couldn't do it?
Probably not.
Yeah, it was comfortable as fuck.
Now, we just had Juliana Pena. What is fight week like for you, being around family? You know, because she had her kids were in the room and, you know, giving her a little bit of a stress. Are you, like, do you like to travel with family during your fight week, or do you like to be totally separated? How do you handle it?
Oh, I like to be separated. It's good. I even like it even if they're at home. I really don't like them coming to the fights. But they do, so it doesn't really matter. But I prefer them to watch it at home. Only just because of the fans. You know, I don't want them to say any wrong things. Like, if it's me and my family here, then there's a fight in the crowd then. You know, that's what I worry about.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel the same way with that shit, man. And then you're like, yo, man, I can't have to worry about you and worry about what I got to handle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I would always think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are you worried about fans being rude to them or them hearing things they shouldn't hear?
Just being rude to my family. That's all.
Yeah. That's, and there's nothing you can do about it because you wouldn't know about it till after it happened.
Yes.
And we had to ask you too, do you have any thoughts on Tuivasa fighting Ciryl Gane? Like, you have any how you think that's going to go, or do you have zero care about it?
-3 care about it. I don't care. And it's declining every day.
So tomorrow it'll be -4.
He'll care even less.
Yes.
But being the star that you are, you're literally like a punch away from being right there fighting one of those guys, you know? Yeah. So you think you would give a shit, but fuck it. Derek's so laid back, man. Yeah. I think he saves it all for the cage. Seriously, how are you around? I can't see you an everyday guy Are you pretty chill every day? I don't see you being aggravated easy.
I'm always at home. I don't really go out unless it's the weekend. We go out to dinner or something like that. Other than that, I'm at home with the family. You know?
I do the same shit. It's good. I mean, Jimmy, you get in trouble when you go out.
I know. Yeah. On the road, I'll bring my girlfriend on the road. I don't want to be on the road alone. I don't trust myself.
There's some crazy times we live in now too. So it's like just safer to be at home.
Oh shit, yeah, man. I got my kids. I got three daughters. They're all getting homeschooled. I mean, only because it's weird times. I don't know. From the masks to the shootings to this to that. It's like, yo, what the fuck is going on around here? Yeah. You know, keep everybody close, Jimmy. That's how I am. You know?
And Derek, do you have any, let's say you win this fight, do you have any plans of what you want to do after? Because, I mean, obviously you would probably rematch eventually against Tuivasa or Gon if necessary. Is there a preference as to which one you would want to rematch with first if you win this, if it took that to get back to a championship fight?
Oh, it didn't matter who. But my main goal after this fight, just get a BBL done, get this weight off of me.
A BBL?
Yeah.
What's that?
A surgery.
Oh,
I missed it. What is it?
He's saying he wants to get, weight loss surgery, and I'm believing him. Yeah, I'm like, really? Like, I'm a fucking idiot I am. Well, you look good, though. Matt's right, though. Great. You do look really like ready to go. I mean, I'm sure you're pretty much where you want to be.
Yeah, I am. I feel good, you know, just got to see how I'm going to feel fight day. You know, I can feel good right now, and then fight day come, feel like shit.
So, has that happened?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, the last time I felt really good for fight day, it whenever I fought the guy from Brazil with the hairy chest. What's
his name? Gonzaga?
Gonzaga.
Once you said hairy chest, I knew it.
Yeah. I remember his damn chest, like, scratching me on my back when he took my back.
He's a hairy guy.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. Every fight is its unique experience. You can't just be like, oh, well, this is how I felt. There's times in the locker room and stuff. I mean, I felt shitty, and I went out, and I fucking did phenomenal. And there's other times vice versa. So every fight, you got to hope for the best, man. Train your best. It's out of your hands once you make that walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
That's how it is, Jimmy.
You're warming up, hitting pads. You're like, man, you barely throwing punches, getting tired. Then you go out there and last the whole three rounds or five rounds or whatever, like nothing. But it's crazy. That's why I say it's more mental than physical.
It's true, right, man. It's true.
Well, Derek, we love you. Obviously, you're one of everybody's favorite fighters. So good luck on Saturday. I mean, I would love to see you get back to a fighting for the championship again. And again, like Matt said, you're like really one punch away from doing that every time you fight. So good luck on Saturday, man. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Derek.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, anytime. Take care of yourself, man. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now, maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
I love Curtis Blades, but man, fuck
Curtis. He was just like, oh man, fuck Curtis. This is fucking
I would do
funny.
It again. Yeah. It's hard when you like both guys. Like
he's
when
you love. Yeah, go ahead.
No, so it's hard when you like both guys because, you know, I don't want to see Curtis get hit when he's down. And I also like Derek. It's hard to.
He's like, you're lucky Herb Dean was there. It's fucking funny. It's funny. You gotta laugh at that.
Do you want to do a couple of picks?
Let's do that, Jimmy. It's getting late.
You bet. What do you think, buddy?
I know, Jimmy. Let's do three picks.
Sure. All right. The champ, Juliana Pena against Amanda.
That's a rough one for me, man. I feel like Juliana Pena is like in such a she's got such a strong self-belief. I feel that Amanda's going to be better prepared. I'm going to say you know what it is, because I'm kind of really cool with both of them too now. Like, so I feel weird with that too. It's business.
You have to pick someone.
I'll say Juliana by decision. What do you say?
I'm going to take Amanda. Because I think I have to give her, I always would have to go with Amanda until I see her, like if she fights another fight where she doesn't look good, but I want to see what she's like now fighting to get the belt again. Like, what did this do to her, this loss? Is it just that, hey, it's a slow decline now because it happens to every fighter? Or does she come back and look like the Amanda who beats Cyborg? I'm going to take Amanda and I'm going to say she wins in the third round. I was going to say decision. Amanda decision was my first thought. Yeah, I'll take. I'm almost tempted to take Amanda.
All right, man. Well,
Amanda first round.
Wow. Wow. That took a drastic turn.
Yep. I'm going to take Amanda the first round.
All right. Well, you did that.
Totally the opposite of what you take. I'm going to take Amanda.
Opposite of what I'm saying.
Right. Kai Kara France, Brandon Moreno. For the interim flyweight belt.
Second round submission, Brandon Moreno.
I'm going to say...
I just said it. Sorry, Jimmy. That was a little combative.
Kai Kara France.
Yes.
TKO, third round.
Wow, dude. Shit, dude.
Derek Lewis, Sergey Pavlovich. He's 15-1. He has not been out of the first round.
Derek Lewis, first round knockout.
I'm going to say part of me is thinking Derek decision. I've been wrong a lot, but I'm going to take Derek Lewis by decision. Because this guy has never been dragged out. And I think Lewis does not fight a lot of fucking decision fights. Derek, second round knockout. Second round TKO.
Jimmy, I just Kimura'd a man. I put his arm behind his back. I held it there until he tapped. Jimmy. Anyway, listen, I just want to
Ankalaev, Anthony Smith, by the way, the opening fight, Ankalaev, Anthony Smith.
Why are you going for that? Why are you even bringing that up?
I just want to say I'm going to root for, I'm taking Anthony Smith. Ankalaev is 17-1, winning a lot of decisions. I'm taking Anthony Smith. I think Anthony Smith is going to surprise everyone. I don't know how.
Dude, he's been a beast lately, bro.
I am a murderer. And yes, I like Anthony Smith. So maybe that's pushing me in towards Anthony Smith. I bet with my heart, Matt. Anthony Smith in the second round.
You got a heart. No,
decision.
Listen, I'm going to go with
Anthony Smith decision.
Magomed, second round.
Okay.
Oh, why? Well, you thought it was a different Magomed?
No, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, you'll see how Anthony feels about that. I mean, I love Anthony Smith, so.
Why do you want to see how he feels about it? Why don't we just keep it between us?
We could do that.
Sometimes I like to just go against you. That way you just
make But that makes it more interesting because then one of us is right and wrong. All right. Well, listen, this was
We can't not pick.
We have to
Alex Perez versus Alexandre Pantoja.
Hold on. Let me open up my thing. I forget. Yes, we did have another fight to do. Mm-hmm. I'll let you pick first. Perez coming off a loss to Figueiredo, but that's been 2 years or a year and a half.
I'm going to say Alex Perez. I'm going to say Alex Perez, second round knockout.
Pantoja, third round sub.
Oh!
That's what I said.
Sorry. Hey, move over, Drew Dober. He's fighting Rafael Alves on this undercard.
On the undercard, yeah. The prelims are very good as well.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's give you the proper plug. Hold on, buddy. Let me give you the proper plug here. I keep closing my window and opening it, and there's a reason for that. Because I'm stupid. That's what the reason is. I'm a stupid man. This is an incredible card. 277, UFC 277. Pena versus Nunes 2, the rematch. Now it is Juliana Pena is the champion, of course. July the 30th, American Airlines Center in Dallas. Early prelims, 6 o'clock Eastern. Regular prelims, 8 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, the main event is 10 p.m. I sure would like to see Matt Serra for these fights.
What?
Where are you watching them?
I'll watch. Oh, you want to come over? You can. I invited you. You fuck. You're busy. Look at you.
No, that wasn't a very good invite. That was a very.
Well, I thought you were gonna be.
I didn't want to invite myself.
Well, Jimmy, listen to me. If you're not doing anything this weekend, come over to my house, dude, and watch it at my house. How about that? For the people listening, he X'd out of the screen like a little prick.
That would be fine. No, I think I will do that. I think so. I'll know. I might see my dad and my mom. My friend has COVID, so I got to make sure I don't have COVID.
Yeah. Well, listen, they're not invited. But listen to me. If you, I'm only kidding. Of course, they're inviting your mom and dad if you wanted.
Wouldn't it be great if I showed up with a bus full of 8 family members?
Imagine that, Jimmy. I'd be like, what? Oh, that's so great, Jimmy. Listen, either way, I'm going to talk to you by this weekend.
Yes, buddy. Thank you to Derek and thanks, Juliana. We're just really both great guests.
What did you want to plug, bro? What are you doing?
Tonight, Fat Black Pussycat. Every Wednesday for the rest of the summer, Fat Black Pussycat. August 12th, 13th, Rochester. And then after Rochester, I also have Rhode Island and Minneapolis. And thank you to the people of Denver. I had an incredible weekend in Denver. And a lot of UFC Unfiltered fans spoke to me at the meet and greet. So thank you guys for coming.
Jimmy, you're the fucking best. All right, everybody. SarahBJJ.com. I don't know. Cameo, yada, yada. Everybody, yep. I love you all. Fights this weekend. Yes. I can't wait. Jimmy, I'll talk to you soon. Buddy. Love you all.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Chapter 1. Wayfair welcomes you to the neighborhood. Our hero, Titus Burgess, ambled down the stylish street of an enchanting utopia. A woman waved from a chic lounger. "Welcome to the neighborhood," she said, "where Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love." Titus stared in awe. Bohemian Boulevard, Trendsetter Terrace, Mid-Century Circle.
Titus.
Hmm?
You're reading the Wayfair catalog.
Oh, you'll love chapter two. Wayfair's fast and free shipping saves a potluck.
Wayfair, every style, every home.